This is Talking Pictures Podcast, presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA. Today, we'll be talking about the early 2000s show Gilmore Girls, following their characters Rory Gilmore, who's the main character, her mother Lorelai Gilmore, as well as talking about her relationship with her grandparents and love interest.
But first, a quick introduction of our hosts, their areas of interest within the film industry, and what their order is at the study. Hi, my name is Anu. I'm interested in like producing, executive producing in the film industry. And I think my study order has got to be a sandwich. I'm really craving a steady sandwich right now. So that's what I'm gonna say.
Hi, my name's Brianna Rose Hewitt. Most people call me Brianna. And I really love the creative aspect of the industry with directing, but also costume, wardrobe styling. And my study order is also a sandwich with wheat bread, chicken, avocado, cheese, all the works.
That sounds so good right now. So what is Gilmore Girls before we like get into all of our thoughts and opinions? So Gilmore Girls was created and mostly written by and executive produced by Amy Sherman Palladino, who has since written tons of other famous shows, most notably The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which that is another episode which I have a lot of opinions on. Gilmore Girls is like a dramedy teen / YA series. It's very notable for the way like it was an appealing show across audience ages, and it aired on the WB and later the CW from 2000 to 2007. So it had a really long run, and in that time it built up a pretty dedicated and enormous fan base. As any show written by Amy Sherman Palladino is, it's known for like its trademark writing, which is fast-paced, incredibly witty, and there's always like multiple conversations happening in the same conversation at the same time. It's a very layered kind of dialogue. I think the show is also very notable for the way it covered topics like love, relationships, and family within like the same character over a pretty large span in our main character Rory's life, from when she entered high school to when she's becoming like a fully fledged adult. And I think a lot of people were drawn to Rory's story and the relationship she has with her mom. And given all that and, you know, the cultural impact the show has had, what is it about the show that drew you to Gilmore Girls, Brianna?
Well, my cousins grew up watching it. I'm the youngest of my cousins on my dad's side, and they always talked about how great it was. And I remember March 2020, we're all trying to figure out something to do, and Gilmore Girls was on Netflix. So my mom and I decided to sit down and try it. And I think we were really intrigued, especially by the first couple of seasons. And we watched it at an extremely fast pace, pulling all-nighters and stuff that is completely out of character for my mom, staying up till 3-4 in the morning. And I think we finished it in about a month, which is pretty impressive because it is 7 years worth of episodes on primetime TV. And that was initially what drew it. We loved the relationships, the characters, and just the different dynamics within it.
I totally agree. For me, I saw the show made into GIFs a lot on Tumblr, and I always see like a lot of posts written about it. And I think coming from like an immigrant household, I didn't really watch a lot of like American TV. We didn't have cable. And so a lot of shows that kind of depicted this like typical American life, I was like very gung-ho about. I thought like, now this is art. I was convinced that Gilmore Girls was like the pinnacle of what American families should look like. And I think a lot of that like wish fulfillment and the popularity it had within American culture really drew me to Gilmore Girls. I didn't watch it with my parents. My mom saw me watching it and she definitely thought it was a bad influence on me, which is very funny. I'm not gonna go into it, but like, she was like, it gave me unrealistic expectations, which I completely agree with. The relationship that Rory and her mom Lorelai have with each other is something I don't think a lot of people can relate to, but it was enjoyable to watch, like this very fun and positive mother-daughter relationship. So I think we both have a lot of comfort, maybe nostalgia, and also like generally happiness associated with the show. But like overall, how do you feel about the show, Brianna?
It's definitely a comfort show, and I definitely enjoy the first couple of seasons more than I do the last few seasons, which we'll get into later with like Rory's character arc and all that. And it's like occasionally fun to watch the reruns, but I always really do associate it with that fun time of pulling all-nighters with my mom in March 2020. So for that, the show has like a very special place in my heart, but I also acknowledge that while it has its high points, there are also parts of the show that definitely could be improved.
I definitely agree. A lot of the show like is very comforting. I think the setting plays a huge part into why the show is so comforting, that like small town, Starry Hollow, chill, cozy vibe that it has is very comforting. I think the characters, like, they're also very comforting to come back to and revisit. I completely agree with you. Like, it just, it's a comforting show. It's just a nice, warm watch. But the later seasons kind of fell off for me. I don't know what happened with the writing. I know that there was, like, a change in who was leading the writing room of Gilmore Girls, and that may have played a really big part into why the story changed and the characters may have changed as well. And I think this is something we've talked about a lot before, but we both feel extremely disappointed in the way that Rory's love interests were handled. We both have our favorites, and they are the exact same person, and we'll get into that in just a second. But I think the show is strong in the way it depicted, you know, mothers and daughters, and mothers and daughters and grandmothers, and that female relationships across generations. But it kind of fell flat for me when it came to, like, love interests and, like, men and having good men in your life. And that is something we'll get into right now, I guess. So one of the major features of the show is the variety of love interests that Rory has over the years. So, Brandon, do you want to go ahead and, like, break down the major love interests?
Yeah, sure. So Rory has three major love interests in the show. The first is Dean, and he's known to be her first love, who continually pops up through the show even after a relationship has quote-unquote ended. While Dean is very cute in the first season, people tend to not like him later on, including myself, because different toxic behaviors that he has that we'll get into in a second. Then there is Jess, who is Rory's second boyfriend, who is essentially one of the reasons that causes her to fall out of love with Dean. He's Luke's, one of the main characters' nephews. He comes into town and really shakes things up. He's the embodiment of that bad boy trope with the leather jacket and the dark hair and being really mysterious. But under that, he's a very intellectual human being, which gives some complexity to him.
Can you tell who our favorite character is?
Exactly. And then finally, there's Logan, who we meet during Rory's college years at Yale. He's the third and final love interest. He's that stereotypical trust fund baby, very spoiled, and he's introduced really as a playboy, but then kind of turned into, a lack of a better word, simp for Rory. He like loves her, and he even gets her a Birkin bag at one point, which is extremely expensive. They're like $40,000, and he essentially proposes to Rory in the end, but she doesn't really reciprocate that love and doesn't accept his proposal. And I think we're going to go ahead and establish, as Anu said, why we like Jess and think he's the best person. I think the first thing to say is you automatically have to rule out Dean from being Rory's best love interest, just because from the beginning he's shown some behavior that is a red flag. For example, he breaks up with Rory on their 3-month anniversary because she doesn't say "I love you" back, and that really upsets him. And of course, that's a valid reason to be upset, but he didn't take time to understand where she was coming from and how the word love means a lot to her, and he just let rage overcome him and break up the relationship. And the episode essentially ends or I guess I think it's the next episode of her saying I love you and like that relationship kind of coming back. But I feel like she was almost pressured into saying it because she didn't want to lose Dean. And he wasn't very understanding of her interest. While he had like an appreciation for them, he never took the time to really understand them. And then he definitely becomes a red flag later on in the series when he quote unquote moves on, though he drunkenly admits before his wedding that he still loves Rory at his bachelor party. And he takes Rory's virginity and essentially keeps saying that he's gonna break up with his wife, that it's always been Rory, they're gonna be together. And he never does, as we always see in these kind of storylines, just basically stringing Rory along. And she's not completely blameless in this. She's actively being a role in this affair, but he's encouraging it in not seeing the problems with this infidelity, which automatically just, I don't think, makes Dean a good person. He's very unlikable in that aspect.
I feel like he was also incredibly possessive too, especially when like Jess came to town. And
exactly,
I mean, we all knew Rory was gonna fall for Jess, but like even their casual friendship, the way they were bonded over having like similar interests in books and stuff, he was incredibly possessive. He didn't want Rory talking to him, which is like, sir, calm down. It's just like he felt very threatened by like any other guy that Rory was like even physically looking at. He was like, stay away from him. And it just felt very like wrong, like this is a major red flag. And Rory, I think, with Dean being her first boyfriend, first love and everything, she kind of excused it, and that's totally not her fault. It's just, we don't like Dean. Don't come at me, don't come at either of us saying you love Dean, because that's just wrong.
The thing is, people are really going to come at us because we don't really love Logan. And Logan is Jess's big rival in who's Rory's better love interest. I remember I've had a communications class get into a heated group me argument over this. What of who's better?
Not the group me argument.
I know. Logan versus Jess. And people often like Logan because they say he offers stability. He was going to give Rory this amazing life, but I don't think intellectually or like emotionally he was the best for Rory. For example, in like one of the middle seasons, she completely has a breakdown and drops out of Yale, and this is when her character arc really starts to happen. And rather than encouraging her to really like get back up on her feet or help her remember who she was and what her passions were, he just kind of lets her like wallow in this state of being stagnant, self-pity, and starting to do stuff that really isn't like Rory, like joining her grandmother's organizations, such as the DAR, which is like the Daughter of American Revolution, and just letting her quote unquote be like this trophy girlfriend where they're going on dates and having sex in her grandparents' pool house and just all this other stuff. And that's when Logan is like, I realize that I didn't like him as a boyfriend. I also think he's the least attractive of all of Rory's boyfriends.
Say so. That.
he's not cute. And he's like, he couldn't keep up with the passions of her interest. Like, I think it's safe to say that Logan probably got into Yale because of daddy's money. He wasn't like necessarily the smartest, while Jess was. He would annotate the books that Rory read and have conversations. And essentially, it's Jess that gives Rory that wake-up call when she's dropped out of Yale. Yes. And he's like, why the heck are you doing this? And
why do you drop out of Yale?
That very famous scene. And she makes her realize, oh my gosh, this isn't who I am. And so for me, Logan was not it. And I think Jess was really that embodiment of right person, wrong time. Because Jess had his fall-throughs. He wasn't the best boyfriend. He definitely was immature, but I think he really, in the end, did turn his life around for her, especially when he fled to California, which we all did hate him for. And when he came back and tried to make things right, it did make things even more annoying. But I think when you can have an impact on someone's life to make them realize, okay, what can I do to be a better person? That's really an embodiment of true love. And I think it's so ironic that in the beginning, Rory was obviously supposed to be the better person than Jess because she was doing well in school. She followed the rules. She was just like that goody two shoes that people aspired to be, while Jess was kind of like the outcast from society that like everyone in town hated. I think there was like even one point in the show where there was like a town meeting of asking Jess to leave, which was hilarious to me. But then in the end, when like Rory like becomes like this bratty, like entitled person, when Jess is like down to earth, owning his like bookshop, writing, and like truly doing what he's good at, it almost becomes that Rory didn't deserve Jess. And like, I know you probably have like tons of opinions on this if you want to jump in and contribute.
Yeah. I think what like something I noticed, because I didn't really get to Logan's season, I'm just kind of comparing him and Dean. I feel like Jess was invested in Rory as a person. We saw this also in like the revival when he like came to talk to her and like came to look for her and stuff. I don't think he could ever really let her go, but not in like a toxic way of Dean. He was able to move on and make something of his life. She clearly had an impact on him where he wanted to get his life together, pursue his passions, pursue writing and stuff. And I think Jess was more clearly established as his own person versus Dean really just needed someone and he latched on to someone and he couldn't move on. He didn't really become his own person. Jess had like interests and a life and passions, and he was able to cultivate that with Rory. And I think that's a trademark of a good relationship. When you're two strong individuals, when you come together, you're stronger. Versus Dean and Rory felt like an unhealthy attachment from someone you kind of liked when you were in 9th or 10th grade. Like, it just didn't feel realistic to me. And I saw that they were, that Jess and Rory had a healthier relationship together. I mean, at the beginning, it is a little turbulent because they're still trying to figure each other out. But I think in the long run, exactly what you're saying, they were ultimately the right people for each other. They had so much in common, and it's so frustrating that she ends up with like Logan. I want to like tear my hair out because Jess was like right there. And the fact that like he gave her a reality check when she dropped out of Yale, the why did you drop out of Yale? That's like coming from someone who really loves her. Everyone around her was like too afraid to talk about like her dropping out of Yale, if I remember correctly. And
except Lorelai.
Lorelai.
Yeah, she was the only one who was like, what the heck, which caused Rory to move out and go to her grandparents' house.
Exactly.
Running away from her problems.
Yeah. Everyone who, you know, didn't have that deep relationship with her was like kind of walking around eggshells, like when they were with Rory. But when it comes to like Jess and Laura, like the people who really loved her, the people who really cared about her, they challenged her and they said, why would you do this to yourself? And I think that is just, that is what makes Jess my ultimate for me. The fact that he cared so much about her, he was willing to put it on the line. He was willing to put his relationship with her on the line. To just say, I care about you so much, I can't let you do this to yourself, which is like, wow, me and who, guys, me and who. I'm feeling incredibly empty inside right now, but like,
same. And I think like a part of her always did love him. There is like a scene, I don't know if you ever watched it anew, where she goes to like a reading at his bookshop and they actually kiss and he thinks she came back for him, but she almost like immediately goes back to Logan, which is so annoying because also her and Logan didn't have good communication of what it means when they're like taking a break or breaking up. While I think Jess and Rory could get past those communication barriers, but we spent a lot of time on him and I know we have other points to talk about. And one thing I really did want to talk about the show was representation. And I actually, when I heard of Gilmore Girls as an adult in college outside of my cousins, it was in one of my first film classes. It was my professor's comfort show. And she did say it was obnoxiously white. And that was one of the critics' main thing about it. And it is true. There are a lot of white characters. And I really had to like kind of sit back on this because it is based in Connecticut, which isn't the most diverse place in the world. And like same thing, like I'm from Georgia, which isn't the most diverse place in the world. So when you see places in Georgia or like Connecticut, these states where there's not a lot of diversity, I think it is accurate that Stars Hollow would not be the most diverse town. Like, I've always been like one of the only like Black people or like minorities in classes, clubs, whatever. So I think at that point, it's like art imitating life that you don't see too many people of color.
But also when she goes to Yale.
I mean, but same thing at Yale. There's not a lot of minorities at Yale either. Like, because one of my god sister goes to Yale and she was like the only minority in her lectures. And so I think like, yeah, like there wasn't a lot of representation, but that's just also what it looks like in life. Is it wrong? Yes. But I think that like we can be like, oh, there's no representation in the show. Like, but that's also just how it looks like in real life. And so I think what my main issue is that when there are those few minorities in the show and you do have the opportunity to really get these beautiful, positive stories that hopefully help ensue change, that's where it fell flat because they weren't depicted in a good way. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, I will still be angry about the fact that there's like no diversity. There's,
you
like,
can be angry three. About it, but I think like, I guess coming from a place where I often was the only Black person of color in the room, I'm just like, okay, that's the way it does look like in real life, especially because this is the early 2000s, so it's even like less diverse than it is now. But I think, you know, they could at least use the opportunity when they did have like a couple characters who were minorities.
Agreed,
to at least like give them justice. Like, I will always, the hill I will die on is that how Lane, Rory's friend, is done so dirty. For those who don't see the show, Lane is Rory's best friend. She's raised by a single mother. She's Korean. And she has these passions and aspirations to go into a life of music, be a rock star. She eventually goes on like some type of mini tour with like her band. But in the end, and this was when there was like kind of the switch in writing, they degrade her to the pregnant best friend. She got pregnant on her honeymoon after marrying one of her bandmates. And it was the only time they had sex. She immediately gets pregnant and it was not a good experience for her. And she literally has a conversation with Rory that she was like terrified of sex. It was like awful. And she understands why her mother tried to shield her from it for like so long. And like Rory tries to kind of change her mind, but it's never revisited. And you just kind of see her now become this like really modest, like, I don't want to say uptight because she still has like some of her roots, but she's not the Lane that we saw in earlier seasons. And I think so many times in media, we see like the fetishization of like Asian women and like just kind of their characters being downgraded to their sex life or how they appeal like physically and just like their opinions on it. When I think Lane could have so much more to life, especially when she has a best friend who was like, who loves sex, had all these relationships and all that, and just like that deep contrast to her was very upsetting for me. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on it.
I agree with you on Lane, and this is something I wanted to touch on a little bit later, but I feel like now is a really good time to bring it up. Is, I think one of my major gripes of the show is I just don't really like Rory that much, and I think a lot of it has to do with like her inability to recognize her own privilege, but more so I think it was the fact, like, you were talking and I was like kind of putting the pieces together. I think one of the reasons why I didn't really like or relate to Rory's story is, for me, she just felt like the pinnacle of white woman mediocrity, and the fact that she was just able to like get everything she wanted. She had like men dying to like marry her. She had like everyone wanted to be her friend, and she got into Yale, and she has to come back to her grandparents' pool house and live there when she drops out of Yale. And I don't know, it felt very frustrating for me, and that's like another issue of representation, with the fact that like you got to see like these characters. If I remember correctly, Lane's family is, you know, not as well off as the Gilmores, and it was just frustrating to see the fact that you have these white characters who have everything and can get everything, versus you have characters like Lane, who was made into like this weird fetishized version of Asian women who are afraid of having sex and very weird. And you have Michelle as well, who's also like a minor character. For those who don't know, Michelle like works with Lorelai in her hotel, her inn, as like the bellkeeper or whatever they're called.
Like the concierge.
Concierge, that's what it is. You have Michelle who works as a concierge and Lorelai is in, and he's just kind of denigrated to like GBF or like the sassy gay black character, and nothing is really done with him, if I remember correctly. And I don't know, you have these white characters with very full, complete, intricate stories and emotional arcs, and then you have characters like Lane and Michelle who kind of get nothing, in my opinion. They just get the quirky storylines or the zingers, or like, you know, they are just made into a best friend who contributes really nothing to the main story or move along the plot. And it frustrates me. It upsets me. That's all I can really say.
I mean, yeah, I agree. They weren't given what they needed to be given. Their stories didn't give.
Their stories did not give.
As the kids say.
So I think that kind of wraps up everything we wanted to rant about in Gilmore Girls. But despite all that, despite everything we talked about, like, how do you feel about Rory's arc? And do you feel like it was all done with a purpose?
I think a lot of it does have to come to that there was a switch in writers in the later seasons. And I think their intentions and what they saw as funny or beneficial was very different than what Amy Sherman-Palladino saw as different. And she was still involved in the process. So maybe she was okay with this transition and maybe saw it as like just like development in life and maybe Rory becoming, you know, maybe this was kind of realistic and what Rory was always destined to be. But I think if you asked her when she was like writing the very first seasons, oh, do you think this is how Rory's going to turn out? I don't think her answer would have been yes. So I think maybe her opinion changed like midway through the show. But I don't think when the like show was like first created, there was always this plan to make Rory this entitled, very like almost self-conscious in a way, because she hated being wrong, person, when she was supposed to be painted as like this scholar student who overcame everything, was smart, witty, sometimes even knew better than her mom, which was a weird dynamic. But I don't think she was necessarily meant to be this person.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I feel like given all that, do I recommend Gilmore Girls? Maybe. I mean, if you're willing to put up with some of the obnoxious things that happen in the show, and if you're willing to put up with some of the more weird, uncomfortable things that happen in the show, there's a lot of, like, affairs, there's a lot of, like, you know, white woman mediocrity that happens, and if you're okay to kind of put that aside to watch this kind of cult classic, not even cult classic, it's just a classic. I think it was, like, named one of the best shows of the 21st century. I think definitely watch it if you're interested in seeing what the show is all about, if you want to see what the cultural impact is, if you enjoy Amy Sherman-Palladino, I think Gilmore Girls is a really great show to do all of those things. But would I watch any future spin-offs or revivals? My answer is no. I think I am done with Gilmore Girls. I will fondly cherish it for what it did for me in like 9th and 10th grade. But I think I'm good.
I mean, I watched them just for funsies to see what's happening, but I have not enjoyed the revivals so far. I'll still watch season 2 because I'm interested to see who Rory's baby daddy is.
Messy. You're so messy.
I mean, I love the tea. I love the drama.
Okay. Well, that's it for us here at Talking Pictures Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you in our next one. Bye. This episode was hosted by Brianna Rose Hewitt and Anuradha Srikanth. Produced by Phoebe Wang, Dylan Mahoney, and Meghna Gordy. edited by Dylan Mahoney, executive produced by Anuradha Srikanth. Thank you for listening.